This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp, Modern Fertility, and KiwiCo. Thank you for making our show a possibility.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Let me show you.
Love is love. If you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional route. If these ovaries could talk, we'd have a conversation.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Jamie. I feel like you have some positive news to report about
really
back
do.
To school before
oh
we go to our interview.
You know what?
What?
Today, he did not cry. He went in. My friend told me about this thing. She read this article about like trauma care in Israel. You know, when somebody goes through a big trauma, like a fire or, you know, and medical team is there.
Or back to school.
Or back to school. And the medical team is there or whoever. The first responders are there and they're dealing with the people who just went through it. They say that you should not cater to the fear or the anxiety, but you should try to switch their brain from the feeling brain to the analytical brain. So instead of saying, can I get you a water? Can I do this for you? Instead, you start asking them questions about like, did you notice this? Did you notice what happened right before? Did you know, like you try to switch their brain to the other side and that keeps the PTSD from.
So you could do like multiplications. What's five times four?
Right. It keeps them, like it helps people not
get out of their feelings.
Yeah, it helps them not get PTSD in the future.
That's really interesting.
Yes, very interesting. So my friend was like, Lolo, shout out to Lolo. Lolo was like, you should try it with him. And I was like, yeah, okay. But we did. This morning, we were like, before Anne left, she was like, when you get home, I want you to tell me what color your teacher Sarah's shirt was. When I want you to look, that's your mission, you know? And then like on the way there, I was like, you have to tell me what color her shoes are. And every time we encountered a problem, like he didn't want to go or he was like hesitating or he was trying to run away from me, I tried to do the whole analytical ask the question thing. And he didn't cry. And he seemed excited to look and see what color her shirt and her shoes were. And I'm like, it worked. I don't
know. That's hilarious.
It freaking worked.
Like a counter to my son came in last night and he laid down before he went to go to bed. He goes, I don't want to go to school tomorrow. And I said, Henry, I said, you are experiencing the Sunday blues. I said, this is what we all get on Sunday nights. Monday, the work week starts. I was like,
it's the worst.
And then he was like, oh, Sunday blues. I was like, should I have told him that? I was like, I don't know. All right. Jamie, hilarious. Well, my bus has been showing up. It's all systems are going well. And I feel like that means let's move into a news item before we start our interview.
We're having a good day. So we just read this article, or I read it.
And I skimmed it.
So Anderson Cooper told this story in a recent interview about how his mother, Gloria Vanderbilt, wanted to carry his child. And he calls it a batshit crazy idea in the article. Yeah. So he says like his mom messaged him one day.
She was 85 at the time. So we usually 85.
Right. Yeah. She's 85. And he messaged him one day like, I need you to come over. I want to talk to you about something. And he says he was like trying to figure out what it could possibly be about the whole way over. And he had no
that
idea.
Sounds like I'm going to disinherit you. That's what that sounds like.
Right. That's what he was like. Could it be something about my, like, I don't even know. But he gets there and she leads it off with, well, I just went to the gynecologist. And he's so funny. He's like, that's a very normal way for my mother to start a sentence. So that wasn't shocking at all. And then he goes on to say that she said that the gynecologist said she can still have babies.
What?
He's like, Mommy, what? No. And she goes, no, I want to have your baby. You what? Just have to fertilize an egg with your sperm and I will give birth to the baby. And he was like, absolutely not. Nope. Not happening. He's like, can you imagine that poor child's life? He'll be plastered all over billboards for the rest of his life. Gloria Vanderbilt gives birth to Anderson Cooper.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, and I have only played one on one independent movie that didn't really go anywhere. But my point is that, like, I have to believe that that baby pulling all the calcium from an 85-year-old's bones, like, she's going to break a hip. Like, I don't want to be ageist. I'm just saying that's a bad idea.
But you know what's funny? That's not where he went with that.
I know. He was like, goes to the paparazzi. That's how you know you were raised in a very famous family. That your first concern is not that.
In the paparazzi. But then he said she didn't let up. She kept like sending him articles and like sending him letters about it. And like, and the cool thing that I thought was really cool at the very end of the article, he referred to an article she sent him about a couple who had just done that and their mother gave birth and there was a picture.
That's probably the 60-year-old that we interviewed.
I think it's probably the guys we interviewed, which is super cool. And like, you know, the world gets around. So basically, we're friends with Anderson Cooper. That was a long way of saying that.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, he's our best friend.
He listens to the podcast.
Yeah. Well, listen, Jamie, before we get to, oh my God, Ebony from Team Two Moms. Ebony. I mean, can you freaking believe that? Oh my God, it's the best.
I can't.
I do want to say, and I know you do too, a very special thank you to our two newest Patreon members. And guess what, Jamie? For the first time ever, they're both former guests.
Oh my God. Like above and beyond.
I mean,
come on. You
shared your story and now you're helping us make more content for other people in a monetary way.
It's too much. It makes me want to cry.
It's too much.
It's too much.
I know that I was writing like thank you emails. I was like, oh my God. Okay. Anyway, it's Hugh and Justin McStay Harrison, who were last week's episode. So they are now proud sponsors. And Aaliyah Sanchez Tong, who was last season. And the name of the episode was Asexual Doesn't Mean Aromantic, so you should go back and check that out. But I mean, Hugh, Justin, and Aaliyah, thank you.
Thank you. We are so honored. And I want to say something about that Asexual Doesn't Mean Aromantic episode. We have gotten so much feedback, like thanking us for including a story like this. Nobody has heard their story told out there. So Aaliyah, yet again, above and beyond.
Yes, seriously. And if you all want to help us make content for LGBTQ families, you can join our Patreon community and just do that. You're going to do a good thing and you're going to get bonus content. Oh, and at the gestational carrier level, you're going to get video interviews of most episodes and they are dropped a day early. So just go to patreon.com/ovariestalk and you can join us there.
Woo! All right. Enough of the business. On to the guest that everybody wants to hear.
Our new best friend, Ebony.
BFF. I mean, we really are. We're in a text chain now. So it's for reals.
I loved her so much.
A bazillion, bajillion people plus Robin's daughter, Maxine,
yes,
told us we had to get Team Two Moms. And we follow Team Two Moms as well on the social. And they're amazing.
They had this one video about should they have a fourth kid. And that is, I watched that on loop like 100 times.
It's so funny. They're good. They are creating content for LGBTQ families on the social media. And it was just, it started with one video that kind of went viral and boom, boom, boom. And now they're changing the world.
One video at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Roll the tape, Helen. Roll it.
Whoa. I don't know what just happened.
Ebony from Team Two Moms is with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so honored. Thank you, ladies.
Oh, no. The honor is ours. We are so excited. We've been trying to get you for a while.
And this is hard. a year in the making. Because you guys are killing it out there. So it's like, we were like, we'll wait.
We'll just keep watching those videos and we'll wait. No worries. We'll wait.
You guys are too sweet. Stop. I apologize profusely. I still feel so bad, but thank you for having us. Thank you.
Oh my God. We're super excited. We're so excited. So without further ado, I think we need to get into our 30-second elevator pitch. And don't be scared. Robin's going to put a timer up. Okay. Don't you worry. We'll never cut you off. You just do you.
Okay.
All right. On your mark, get set, go.
Hello, guys. I am a 1/5 of Team Two Moms. It is myself, my lovely wife, Denise, who couldn't be here today, and she apologized profusely. And we have three beautiful children, Olivia, 9, twin boys, Jaden and Lucas, who are 4. So yes, 3 kids, busy world, but we absolutely love it. We share our lives online. We are on several different social media platforms, and our mission has always been to normalize LGBTQ plus parenting. And how we do that? Through some funny, exciting, engaging content.
Bam!
Boom.
That was
mic drop.
Good.
You got a lot in there.
Mic drop.
You really did. But also you brought in a little radio announcer voice.
And face.
And energy.
Before we get into you, we have to talk about how Maxine was so excited to meet you. And we just had a moment with Maxine and Ebony. And Maxine was like in tears because she was so excited to meet Ebony from Team Two Moms. Because that's how important your work is.
Aww. She put makeup on. And it was some special tutorial thing that she did last night. There's like some rainbow thing in the crease. I was like, is that how it's supposed to look? And I was like, it's beautiful.
Oh, she is absolutely a sweetheart. And you're right. It shows us like how far our content is reaching and the importance of visibility for families like ours.
Yes.
So, for sure.
Well, and like Jamie and I talk a lot about representation mattering. And you're like intersectionality and representing across, you know, a bunch of marginalized groups. Mm-hmm. And it's like so wonderful. My daughter now sees like someone like our family in the world because of what you're doing. And I just, I think that's so wonderful.
Thank you.
Let's talk about your family creation story.
Absolutely.
Like, when did you start deciding to have kids and how did you decide who was going to go first or who was going to go? All that
jazz. Oh, my gracious stars. Okay, you're taking us back. So Denise and I met in 2006 on a platform that if I name it, I might be putting an age to myself, but MySpace. You know, MySpace.
Yes, you did. Yes,
was
you did.
Once upon a time.
MySpace.
Was like your today Facebook, Instagram, everything.
It was the only
one. It was like really the only thing that you...
That guy Tom was your first friend.
You know, everybody was friends with Tom. I wonder what happened to Tom. But
I know.
Like, where is Tom? But yeah, you know, Denise sent me a message, literally, can we be friends? And here we are 16 years later.
Aw, yeah, she did.
She sure did.
She was all high.
And I'll give you a little tea with it, too. Here's a little tea.
I love the tea.
Let me sip my tea, too. Let me, you know.
Tea for tea.
We're both in relationships. When she messaged me, can we be friends? And we literally were friends for like a week or two, right?
Yeah, you know. True lesbian fashion.
In true lesbian fashion. And yeah, we really realized like, man, like there's just this chemistry here. And clearly we were right.
You're like, she's better than the other one. Let's wrap that up.
You know, I would never say that. No.
I said it.
You said it for you.
You said it for
me.
Thank you very much.
But were you both out at that time? Were you both in same-sex relationships?
Yes, we both were in same-sex. I mean, we were both out. We were in our early 20s. We moved in lesbian fashion.
As you do.
You know what? Actually, it took about a good 6 months before we moved in together. So that's
a long time.
I'm laughing how you're acting like that's a long time. That's like straight people are like 6 months.
And lesbian years.
We just went on 2 dates in 6 months.
Yeah, and the lesbian
5 years.
Exactly.
That's like a whole lifetime.
You understand, Jamie. You understand, Robin. You get it. You get it. We moved in.
Robin, don't act like you didn't do the same thing.
Exactly.
We all did. Oh, we all did.
Yeah. We all did it.
Yeah.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I mean, you know, Denise proposed, we got married, and, you know, children was not in our minds back then. You're talking about 2010. We didn't see much visibility. We didn't even know it was possible. And all of a sudden, like literally the day after our wedding, I had gotten this huge baby bug bite. I want to become a mom. Literally. And I think it was literally the wedding itself, because when we got married, we actually have 2 wedding dates. We have July 18th, which is the date we actually go by, where we had our huge ceremony. Mm-hmm. At the time in New York, it was not legalized, but they recognized same-sex marriage. So we didn't know about that caveat to it until we met another couple who attended our wedding, who said, you know, you can just go right across the border, because we were in New York, to Connecticut and get married. So a week after our wedding, we went to Connecticut and actually got our marriage license. And so we have two dates for our wedding. And it was in that whole transition where I realized, like, wait, there's a lot more possible for couples like us. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to meet with our doctor, my regular doctor that I've had for so long, just ask her, like, how can I have kids? And for her, it wasn't foreign. And it was she gave me a wealth of information and referred me. And when I got pregnant with Olivia, you know, it was on my first try of trying. So we were very, very blessed. And
yes,
that's when we knew it was possible. And when Olivia was born, in that moment, Denise was like, maybe I could do this in the future. But for right now, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. I think one is enough.
Isn't that interesting how that happens? Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. Well, that kind of happened to me. Kind of.
You wanted to already.
I wanted to. But my wife was never supposed to carry. And then all of a sudden, right after we got married, she was like, you know, I think I want to carry.
It is funny that the wedding thing, it's almost like it's this heteronormative thing. Mm-hmm. But then that, for some people, I mean, good or bad, that opens up this idea of something that wasn't possible.
Correct.
So it's like, I'm not mad at it for being heteronormative, because then you maybe showed someone like you that you could have a fuller family.
Correct. And I'll be honest with you, just like sitting here with you, I don't get these moments to like really talk with other families like this, and just to hear you guys, like how we're all on the same page and have these same experiences throughout our lives. This is why this podcast is needed. I'm just plugging that in, okay?
Jamie, this podcast, I don't know if you're aware, it's sponsored by BetterHelp.
I am.
And they want to know, is there something that's interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals?
Like the back-to-school commute? How about that one?
You and the bus. Yes, exactly. BetterHelp is going to assess your bus needs, Jamie, and it's going to match you with your own licensed professional therapist. And you can start communicating with someone in under 48 hours.
I love BetterHelp. I do.
I know. Me too. And our listeners will too. I mean, they need to know it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy that's done securely online.
Yes. And there is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. So, you know, the service is available for clients worldwide.
I'll tell you what, Mary loves that.
Yeah.
And I loved Erin Mary's Dirty Laundry. And I'll tell you what, while I'm talking about Mary's business, she loves that she gets a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you don't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room like traditional therapy. Mary really loves that.
I do too. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. And get this, it's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available.
Come on, people, get BetterHelp. They want you to start living a happier life today.
And you know what? You can visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. One reviewer writes, Dr. Viviano offers well thought out counseling and tricks to manage my anxiety.
Go ahead, Dr. Viviano. So here's what you should do. Visit betterhelp.com/OCT. That's better, H-E-L-P. And you're going to join the over 2 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states.
Wow. You have really been doing your research. Okay, don't forget about this special offer. If these Over Easy Could Talk listeners are going to get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/OCT.
So yeah, we had Olivia and five.
Did you use a donor sperm? Like, we did. Do you share that information?
Yes, we do share that information. Oh my gosh, we're an open book. So when looking for a donor, because at that time Denise was like, it's not going to be me. It's just going to be you. It's just going to be you. So we wanted a donor of Puerto Rican descent, which is her background. Mm-hmm. And luckily, we did find a donor because it was very.
That's not easy.
That's what I was going to ask. How hard was that?
Very hard. I think it was the only one that we had found, and where even the physical features that was documented were very similar to hers. And we were able to get his baby photo. And at that, we were like, oh, whoa, this is, the stars are aligning. This is just perfect. And that's how we chose our donor. Our donor is an open ID donor. So when Olivia, who is actually the same donor for the twins, we'll get to that. When they turn 18, they can find out. I'm curious to know about you guys' story as far as with, I really have to hear this.
No, same. First I want to know, you went through a sperm bank, right? Like a big one? Or
Yeah,
a
big sperm bank. Yep. Same. Big sperm
bank. Both of us did as well. We have the same donor for our kids as well, but my wife went first because she was older and decided all of a sudden she needed to carry. And then when it was my turn, I had 3 years of infertility. It took me forever to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. So we ran out of our donor. We had to bring him out of retirement.
Really?
You can do that. You can do that. They will ask the donor if there's a sibling already born to the donor, if there's a child already born, they will say, there's a family who wants to have another one. Will you donate more? But then you have to agree that you will buy it all up.
What?
They got a lot of sperm on ice.
But we didn't, we ended up not buying it all. They didn't follow up. So we bought a bunch because I was going through infertility. We didn't know how long it was going to take, but. Anyway, yeah, we brought the man out of retirement. So we got the same donor in the end. But Robin went to the ends of the earth to get the same donor. Go ahead, Robin.
Yeah, so I carried both the kids because Mary was just a little bit older. Mm-hmm. And after the first one, like 3/4 of the way through, I hated pregnancy. I was like, this is dumb. And I sold back the rest of the sperm. And then when we went after I had the baby and was like, oh, that wasn't so bad. Because that's, the baby comes out like, and then you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad.
I love it.
Every time you do that.
Literally
so
how
gross.
It felt to me. Literally how it felt to me. And then I was like, oh, okay, well, I went to go buy the sperm back and he was done. And I didn't know you could buy him out of retirement. So I got sperm from someone. I joined the sibling registry board.
Yeah.
Got sperm from somebody.
Who had extra vials.
Bogota, Colombia. One vial. I went to Bogota, Colombia, did an insemination. That didn't work.
In Colombia.
Colombia.
She did the insemination with
a donor sibling.
And her family.
Yeah. We were like besties. I was one of the few people who didn't speak Spanish. So I was just a lot of times nodding and.
Wow.
It was crazy. And then
she held
that
your
didn't
hand.
Work.
You know.
And then someone else sent me a vial and that didn't work. And then that we gave up and I got a new donor pregnant first time. So, but my point of this is what's really interesting in this group right here is all of our kids are genetically half connected.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To each other. And I think that's fascinating.
Correct. Also, all of our kids were born through a sperm bank.
Correct.
With the egg that belonged in the body that was, it was birthed from, but our stories are so different and unique.
Different.
And I just learned. Amazing. Something in addition that you can bring the donor out. I never knew that was possible. Very interesting. Very, very, very interesting.
So 5 years goes by.
Yes.
And you're like, you're only going to have the one.
Yes. Well, I had such a difficult pregnancy. It was rough.
Oh, it stinks, right?
What happened? What was nausea?
I found out through my pregnancy that I had fibroids.
Oh,
and as
no.
Olivia was growing, so were they. And I, when I say they, I can't stress enough they. There was a lot of them growing simultaneously, correct, with her.
That and happened to my cousin. So,
wow. And I was in pain the whole entire 9 months.
And there's nothing they could do, right? Nothing. While you're pregnant.
Nothing.
Do they take them out after you have the baby? Like, what even happens
with
that?
So when I gave birth to Olivia, first of all, they had me mentally prepare for a possible C-section because of the fibroids, but I can try to, you know, have her vaginally. And so
I would have been like, okay.
You know, like technically, but the high risk with having a C-section was I can possibly bleed a lot, because they could rupture.
Because of the fibroids.
Oh, right, yeah. Right.
They can rupture. Right. So they was just letting me know everything. So through the whole delivery, I was just afraid. It took 32 hours of laboring because my OB was really trying to push me both physically and mentally to avoid the C-section. And luckily I was able to have her. I had her vaginally. And she said, let's just give it about a month or two when your hormones go back down to see if they shrink. Because if we remove them, most likely they're going to come back and come back even bigger and with more vengeance. So let's just see.
That's awful.
Yes. Let's just see if they shrink. And sure enough, they did shrink. They're still there. But they're not giving me any problems. So I am afraid to get pregnant again, but we wanted more children because I didn't want them to go out of whack again. But Denise actually really wanted to also experience it. You know, you have 5 years of being a mom. She was there for the birth of Olivia. And, you know, Denise presents herself as masculine. So she also had the notion of, you know, I don't want to be pregnant because I know a lot of things are going to change with my body that I don't want to change. And but she literally like tucked that into a box and was like, I could do this.
I was just going to ask, like, did she have issues with that?
You know, I think throughout the pregnancy, the only thing, and women talking to women, we can be very blunt and real right here, you know, was her, her breasts were growing, you know, it's starting to like fill and get ready for the twins. And, you know, she was pregnant with twins on top of that.
Right. Which we got to get into that.
Yes. Too. So she was doing a lot of like trying to bind them down to get them to stop. And but the pregnancy itself was so difficult that I think that was more in the front of her mind than her body actually changing from the masculine presentation that she prefers. So, but, you know, to even take you further back with her journey on getting pregnant, it took her 7 tries, okay? And,
IUI.
It was 5 IUIs and 2 IVF cycles. We decided to use the same donor, which is another story right there, because there was a lot of discussions on if we should use the same donor because the donor is not have any African-American descent in them. So,
right.
So she felt like, you sure you won't feel a way? And I was like, no, for me, you know, and for the both of us, my thought was about the children. Like, what would they prefer? Like, I was trying to project. And to me, skin color does not define whether my children are my children. They're my children. So, you know, that's not an issue for me. So I was like, no, I'd rather really keep to the same donor. So when, if they decide to wanting to find out who the donor is, they can go on that journey together.
Together. Yeah.
Together.
That's one of the things I was bummed about, is that, like, what if one of my kids has a different experience than the other? Like, what if one donor is open and then the other one is like, I don't want to meet you, you know? But then I realized that as they've gotten older, because my kids are 10 and 12, that both of them have a completely different like setting. What's the right word, Jamie? Like point of view about the donor.
The way they handle the whole
origin
story.
Or like their association to it. Like Maxine is really interested in it. She's very interested in the siblings, the donor siblings is how we refer to them. He wants nothing to do with it. He doesn't care. He's not interested. And it doesn't mean it won't change down the road. But I do think that that has changed my opinion now that I have the kids. And I always want to share that, because it's like how you think it's going to be when you're thinking about it before the kids come and after can be different.
As I'm seeing Olivia become more articulate and more aware, there's a lot of things that she hasn't asked. I wonder if she wonders, like, about the donor siblings, the donor. But I honestly would almost...
Do you guys talk about it with her? How do you do the origin story?
We've had discussions, and we'll be honest, we haven't had a deep discussion about the donor siblings as of yet.
Because it's something, this is where I am right now, because it's something extra you have to add to the story.
Correct.
And if you don't add it, it's not going to come up. And like, I just recently added it to my daughter's story because she's 7 going on 8.
Mm-hmm.
I just recently brought it up, and now I'm letting her bring it up when she's ready again. But that's the difficult thing about the donor siblings. It's something you have to add.
Correct.
Because from the start, they know they're from donor sperm. From the start, it's just a part of the story. But this is an extra detail.
Correct.
And that's such that's a heady concept, donor sperm, to a kid.
They don't get it.
It's like, sure, they don't know what that means. But when you introduce, and like for us, it was hard because we had to say, and that's Maxine's donor. Mm-hmm. Now your donor, these people are connected to you. And so like we had to like just keep adding and adding and adding, and that, you know, and that forced it.
Exactly.
But also we were forced because I was trying to get the donor sperm. Mm-hmm. Like I was trying to get more, and that threw us into this world. Mm-hmm. And I think that was helpful for me.
Yeah.
You know what, Jamie? Mm-hmm. There's so much about fertility that's a complete mystery, right? Mm-hmm. That's where the modern fertility hormone test comes in. Think of your fertility hormones as like tiny detectives, and they can bring you tons of insight into your egg count, reproductive timeline, and even possible outcomes for egg freezing and IVF. Everything you need to know to get proactive about your fertility.
Ooh. Okay, you've been watching too many cop shows. Okay. Tiny detectives. Yes. I know. Yes. But you're right. You are right. And that's why Modern Fertility was created. It's the easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with what, Robin? A simple finger prick. You mail it in with a prepaid label, and you're going to get your personalized results within 10 days.
And you know, Jamie, traditional testing with your doctor, and you know this because you went through it, it can cost over $1,000. But Modern Fertility gets you that same info for $159. That's like a fraction of the price. And if you go to modernfertility.com/OCT, you're going to get $20 off your test.
Yes. Ooh, ooh. Also, if you have an HSA or a FSA, you can put those dollars down toward Modern Fertility. You're going to get insight into your hormone levels, how many eggs you have, and other important fertility factors. The results go deep into what every hormone means, and you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for next steps. I just wanted to make sure we said those points, Robin.
It's important. And I mean, because our audience, they want to have kids. They want to have them today or someday in the future. And so you all are going to get clinically sound info about your body, and it's going to help you make the decision that's right for you.
Yes. So right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT. That means, folks, your test will cost $139 instead of the several hundred or even $1,000+ it could cost at a doctor's office.
Holy cow. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
modernfertility.com/OCT.
We've actually crossed paths with one of the donor siblings, unbeknown.
Oh, really?
What? Yes.
Do they know you because you're famous?
They do know who we are.
Yeah.
And we knew who they were because of the donor registry group that we became a part of years ago, before even being on social media. And we never took anything down or off of that because, you know, we should still keep that connection right there. And I would never forget the day I was like, oh, this is a small world.
Oh, God. Oh,
so one of Maxine's donor siblings lived a block and a half from us in Brooklyn for 2 years, and we didn't know that. And now Maxine bumps into her when she goes over to like this one neighborhood in Brooklyn. She bumps into her at the Starbucks. She's like, hey, Katie. And I'm just like, how crazy is that?
It's a small world. It's a very small world. And it even kind of enforces why you got to have these conversations with your children, if you know what I mean, right?
Yes. Right. There's that.
We're going to say yes.
I mean, what if they were like naturally attracted to one another because there's something similar and they didn't recognize that. Like,
that.
I'm just saying that stuff could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? This is how gendered our world is and how it's just into us. I was like, well, if it's a girl, it's okay in my head. And then I'm like, Jamie, what's wrong with
you? Still making out with your sister.
Correct.
I'm just going to say it like
but
that.
But that's how like the world just seeps into
the world,
you.
To your head.
And you don't even, So it is a conversation that needs to happen. But the question is like, at what age? And
I think it's harder for us. It's harder for us. That first drop is the toughest one. And then they ask what they're up to, whatever they want to ask. And then you wait, like Jamie said, for them to bring more up or look for other opportunities.
All right. I'm learning.
Give them the information. That's how I look at it.
Exactly.
No secrets.
And that's our role in this whole journey with them. It's just no secrets, point blank. Well,
And you already talked about that. You were so intentional where you were like, do I need a donor that is of African-American descent? And you were like, I'm putting my kids first. You were so Correct. Intentional in that choice. Correct. That's Correct. Like, you're already an amazing parent for that.
Stop. Thank you so much. You Robin. Are.
I
Thank
mean,
you so-
come on. Look
I'll
at
be
your
honest.
Baby.
I definitely have gotten negative feedback about not, you know, going with a donor that is of African-American descent. And and especially yeah. in today's time. So I do appreciate that, Robin,
I hope you
for
say,
sure.
Mind your business.
Exactly.
Mind your business.
Oh, I did a full-blown video on it. Like,
yes, you did.
Come again. Come for me.
Come again.
Let's go.
Oh my God. This is why we love you. This is why we love you.
Yeah.
You did
by the way,
right
your family,
you.
Your choices.
Exactly. Yes. And for your exactly. family. And your family's beautiful and you all love each other. It's so clear and it's working. So like you
Thank
know,
you.
Come
Thank
for me.
Thank you.
But let's get back into
twins.
Okay.
The twins and Denise and the decision yes. to get pregnant the second time and Olivia's five and where are we
yeah.
here?
Yeah. So
and you're
you
not
know,
on
Denise
TikTok
like-
yet.
Not oh no, we're not on TikTok yet. Okay. No, absolutely. I don't even know TikTok existed at this time.
Yeah,
I don't
even
think it did. It might have been Musical.ly back then. But yeah, so Denise jumped on board. She's like, it's my turn. And boy, like I said, seven tries, five IUIs, two IVFs.
Can I ask, did insurance pay for any of this?
No.
No. Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Everything came out of pocket. Maybe a few blood tests, labs. Regular checkups, but other than that, no. Once she was pregnant, yes. But the process, absolutely, absolutely not, because you had to show that you're infertile.
Exactly.
Yep. Yep.
But to show yep. that is not in the means of how we went about getting
exactly.
inseminated.
No, we've been trying. We've been trying for years. Nothing yep. has happened.
It
we
ain't
try
happened.
All mm-hmm. the time. Mm-hmm. Nothing comes of that.
Yes,
there was just recently yes. an article of a couple is suing the New York, Aetna in New York
for discrimination
against LGBTQ because of this policy.
Mm-hmm.
Because
and
of this,
actually, my insurance at that time was Aetna. So,
oh,
good for
go.
Them.
Well, they're getting sued. They're
good
getting
for them.
Sued. Yeah,
good.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Good.
Finally, right?
It is. It's like these stipulations. They can't like. Specifically said, you know, no LGBTQ plus, but they know how to find.
No,
these
they say it has
round,
like between a man and
round.
A woman.
Yeah,
and that's it. Right
and
there,
and that
that's
right
it.
There is the discrimination, right there.
Exactly. So all out of pocket, five IUIs, two IVFs.
That last cycle, and we're sitting in the lobby waiting for transfer. Denise looked at me and she said, "Look, if this don't work, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried." I'm exhausted from the pricking, the poking, the medications.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I am done.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her and I said, "We are done. No worries."
Mm-hmm. Oh my
no
God.
No worries.
I just got goosebumps.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
I'd have been like, "No,
yeah.
you're not. You keep trying, Anne." No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Isn't that so funny? The universe, though, like
mm-hmm.
you were at peace and then mm-hmm.
bam,
fucking twins.
Twins.
How many did you put in?
We did transfer the last two because she said, "I'm done." So we were like, there's no point in letting one just sit there. So we put both them and babies in. And here
and
we have Jaden and Lucas.
You know, HCG spiking. You were like, woo!
Yeah,
uh-oh.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously you have it in the back of your mind, but honestly, we didn't. We were still very shocked and surprised because of the journey itself and its entirety. Mm-hmm. We're like, Lord, you was just testing us to see how strong, to see how strong we are and to make sure we appreciate this moment because we sure do. You know, mm-hmm. it was something we can now sit and talk about.
Well, I want to know, how did Denise, I mean, it was a shock to both of you, but how did Denise mm-hmm. take it? Because she's, like you said, masculine presenting.
Mm-hmm.
This was already, mm-hmm. you know, a different mm-hmm. step for her. How did she mm-hmm. take the twins?
It was already in her mind, she said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, she already prepared herself throughout the whole journey. So I think she was just really overly excited. And I feel as though if your first pregnancy is multiples and you don't even know what it's like to have a singleton.
Yeah. What do you know?
What do you really know, right? So for her, she just feels like I was pregnant, whether it was two, one, three, or four. I was, you know, she doesn't really compare the pregnancy as being twins. Like, oh my gosh, I had twins. She's just like, mm-hmm. in general, as someone who would have never thought they would have wanted to even become pregnant, she looks at that and say, wow, I did it. Like, even her family was nervous. Like, Denise's tolerance of pain is very, I'm talking about you get a paper cut, the world has to stop. I must run to her aid. I love her dearly. She's going to kill me for saying this. So we were.
But she knows it's true.
She knows it's true. So when, you know, throughout the pregnancy, we were all like, Lord, please, 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 please. And she was very, very strong. She did amazing. Denise did absolutely amazing. You know, she looked past the fact that her kidneys were failing. She had preeclampsia. She had anemia. And she was a diabetic.
What?
Yeah. Yeah,
so she was diabetic before or
no,
during?
No, she had gestational diabetes, preeclampsia, anemia, and literally they was like, you have to have a C-section because your kidneys are about to go. Your kidneys.
I bet she went early then, probably, right?
She's actually made it really far though. She made it to 36 weeks for twins. That's
impressive.
That's great. I always say 36 weeks in one day. Give her one day, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, the twins came and she did amazing. She did amazing. Two healthy baby boys. They were in a NICU for like 2 to 3 days and they went home with us. So that was the journey. It's two completely different experiences in becoming and trying to TTC for sure.
Yeah. And you know, the blessing is that you have two uteruses, so you get to have these different experience.
Uteruses.
But that's the blessing. You get to see, and we get to be on both sides of it, which is really a blessing, and it really makes you such a I think it makes you really well-rounded. I think I'm very well-rounded as an individual.
I'm with you.
As a mom.
As a mom. For sure. For sure.
You know what, Robin? I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a hard time finding quality things to do with my kids. How about you?
Yeah. That's why I love subscription boxes like KiwiCo. I love it when someone does the research for me and sends my kids age-appropriate activities that we can all share together.
Me too. Anything to keep them off screens and keep me from doing extra work. And you guys, for our listeners, if your daily routine involves taking care of a little one or two or three or four, why not switch things up with a Panda Crate box from KiwiCo?
Listen, and if you don't know, Panda Crate is a subscription box that's filled with playful, open-ended activities that they are backed by research and designed especially for naturally curious and creative babies and toddlers.
And with a Panda Crate subscription from KiwiCo, your baby receives a new crate filled with 2 months worth of products and content every other month. So cool.
Yeah. And whether you have a brand new baby or a trailblazing toddler, the Panda Crate is perfect for your little one's developing brain. And they have boxes for all ages, Jamie, not just the little ones.
I know.
My friend Paige, who I sent the Panda Crate to for her newborn, just told me that her little one is obsessed with this interactive mirror that they sent.
Oh, I remember those days. Orion used to talk to himself in his mirror all the time. It was the cutest. Who'd have thunk a mirror would provide that much entertainment?
Jamie, who'd have thunk? KiwiCo. That's who.
Exactly. Each crate includes age-specific products designed by experts and backed by researchers at Seattle's Children's Hospital to help babies at every stage learn by doing what they do best, playing and exploring.
You heard it here, folks. Build a foundation for early learning with Panda Crate from KiwiCo. You're going to get 50% off your first month plus free shipping with the code OCT at KiwiCo.com.
That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com, promo code OCT.
Now, what, you have a five-year-old, so you're out of diapers or whatever, and then all of a sudden you're bringing in twins. I mean, you didn't go like the jump from one kid to two is hard, is really hard. But you brought in twins for your jump. That had to be a lot.
You know, honestly, it wasn't. And
really,
I know. And it sounds weird. And it's so funny you bring this up because just yesterday I was just talking to Denise about it. Like, I don't know, maybe because of the journey itself. You know, there was some forgiveness at once they were here. Like, it was like, okay, let's make that they slept. We used to have to like kind of poke them to make sure everything was okay. Like, if anything, the stress was always worrying if they're like, are they all right? Are they breathing? Because they were such quiet babies and very quiet. And Olivia, instantly, we were back then, we used to call ourselves Team Three Moms because Olivia instantly, I mean, you know, no, not to toot our horn, but being raised with two moms, you know, she has this overly
motherly
instinct at such a young age. So she just kicked into high gear. I think she was very happy not being the only child. Now, if you ask her today with having toddler versions of her brothers, she may say she needs a break. You know, she may say some days she's just like, where did you come from? Like, you know,
stop wrestling.
But honestly, it was a smooth transition. And I think, honestly, it goes back to how long, you know, it took for the twins to get here, to finally expand our family, that we was just overly prepared and overly anxious and overly waiting for this moment. So that definitely
once
helped.
Again, it's that intentionality. It's that planning. It's it's what we go through to become parents when they come. We're really grateful. I mean, like, Robin and I complain about our kids like it's our job, especially on this platform.
Yes.
But come on, we're very, very grateful for what we have.
Oh, my God.
We don't take
Absolutely.
It for granted. Even though my daughter does not have that maternal instinct, she's growing into it a little bit. But because mine are 4 years apart, too, and we thought it was going to be this thing.
Hey,
you know,
No.
She wanted to do it that baby.
Well, and you had that extra layer, too, where you, like, you might have missed it.
Mm-hmm.
You, if that hadn't worked, you would just be like, just have the one kid, which would be a valid and amazing experience, too.
Correct.
But, like, your universe took a right turn, and it's like, that has to bring some peace, too.
It does.
Although I don't know if that peace settles at 4 a.m. when babies are crying, but still.
No, they slept, Robin. They slept.
I mean, and we're...
That's everything, right?
We had a routine. The hospital that we delivered all three of the children, I used to work there. So the staff there knew us very, very well. Like, it was their family there having. So they put us on this schedule. Like, they knew exactly what to do and how to do it. And we literally followed it to a T when we got home. And it was just pure harmony when we got home.
Really? Yeah. Nurses are the best.
They are.
Really, the pediatric nurses.
Yes.
We spent some time in the ER, like overnight in the pediatric unit with my son. I love those nurses with all my heart and soul. Just they know what they're doing, and they're
With like delivery nurses too.
Yes, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like those nurses in general, but you know, our oncology nurses, our behavioral health nurses, our ICU nurses.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
shout out to our nursing staff, healthcare staff, especially after the year that we just had.
The year that keeps going. This year that just keeps on repeating.
In year two.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Shout out.
And that's our family. And I mean, we were on YouTube during this time.
I was going to say, when did that happen? Yeah, what was the moment where you were like, let's record this? Like,
that was when actually Olivia was 1 year old. And so we were on YouTube for quite some time before getting onto TikTok. And we didn't start with the intent of let's be on social media. We just started because we just felt like, at that time, it was during the re-election of President Obama. And when he won, it was during his campaign being the first president to publicly support LGBTQ community. We just wanted to make a video about that. So we just made a video about, like, oh my gosh, the president of the United States. That's amazing. And we had Olivia on our lap. And all of the comments was not about the joy or sharing in the joy of the president. It was, wait, who's that sitting near you? How is that your daughter? This is back in 2012. And that was just the majority of the comments. And I was like, wait, people don't know how two women can have a baby? Because, I mean, when we, you know, during that time, we were just surrounded by so much support and love in our communities everywhere. So I just thought, in my naive, closed-minded brain, I guess, like, this is just how it is for everybody. And that is when we quickly realized, oh, nah, this is not how it is for everybody. And seeing these comments from other parts of the world, and some of them was just so heartbreaking. I was like, oh, maybe we need
it's to amazing what people will say. Like, it's amazing what people will say when they're not face to face with you. Correct. when they are protected by a screen and their keyboard.
Yeah.
The hate that they spew it's awful.
Yeah. Social media has not been good for that, and I feel like we're seeing the result of it, like the ripple effect of like people punching flight attendants and stuff. It's almost like they've lost themselves. Mm-hmm. They've lost decorum. I feel like that's why it's important, the content you're putting out, we're trying to put out, to just like counteract that. Mm-hmm.
Just to show, you know, the love and show that we're just like everybody else.
Just like everybody else.
We're the same as you. Don't hate on us. But exactly. So this was your catalyst. You were like, okay, well, we need to start sharing our story.
Yeah, we just started sharing our story. And then after the twins were born, actually, we didn't start TikTok until last year. When I think about it, we did.
Are you serious?
We just started. We started, you know, that's when, you know, the world slowed down and we were all quarantined and had a moment to kind of gather and collect our thoughts and slow down in life and really reflect. And that's when we just kind of like stumbled upon other things to kind of entertain us as well, because there wasn't much to do.
Mm-hmm. That's when I discovered TikTok. That's when I discovered you, actually. TikTok and you guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're on YouTube. You started out on YouTube. And what were you documenting on YouTube? Is it the same as TikTok, or were you
TikTok was just daily vlogs. It was just a peek into our lives on a weekly basis. The birth of the twins is there, the birth of Olivia.
YouTube, you mean?
Yeah, on YouTube. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, TikTok, we just started with the little short form videos of taking what we've always spoke about before, thinking, this is not new content. But then you realize TikTok is a totally new audience.
Totally different group.
It's a completely different group. And it's different on Facebook. It's different on Instagram. It's different on Twitter. And that amazes me that there is a need in all these outlets, and hence why we should see some reels and clips from the podcast on other platforms as well. Because the more of us, you know, together.
It's true. We're going to work that TikTok in.
You know, every platform is a new set of eyes and a new opportunity to be able to educate and inform about families like ours. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true. So, it was just an easy transition into TikTok, and then y'all blew up. I mean, you already blew up, but OMG.
But was that like a weird thing when that happened? Like all of a sudden it's like you're a household name. I imagine you had to quit jobs, right?
Yeah, it was a lot. We were honored. We were blessed, but we were also very overwhelmed. And I will say the timing of it was at least at a time where everything externally was slowing down. And we had more time with each other. The kids were homeschooled during that time. And so the timing for it fit, because I couldn't imagine it happening like the year prior to that of everything.
Yeah.
Because we're so hyper-focused on our children and our roles and our moms, that as we were going on TikTok, it was like trying to find this balance. But luckily, again, most of our time was contained at home.
Too. At home, so, yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like the universe has had a very strong hand, or the universe or God or whomever you believe in. Okay. Like, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but in like the flow of your life, from you two meeting to the babies to like going into a COVID period and then that blowing up something that you're passionate about, you know, and that's really interesting.
Thank you.
And you're making a difference in the world. You really are a big, important difference. And your family's on board. Like your daughter, Olivia, is like, Olivia, that's like, I told my coworker, I was like, oh, I'm interviewing Team Two Moms. And my coworker, who is not gay, but she's, you know, like she's an ally. She was like, Olivia. She was like, I love her. I love that little girl.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah. She's got moxie. We love her.
She does. Does she come up with these things? Does she like, mom, I need to do this video? Like,
she's very hands-on.
I feel like she's a little director.
She's very hands-on. Mm-hmm. And both ways, like, no, I don't want to talk about that. Yes, I'll talk about that. Let's do that. No, I don't think you should do that. Move the camera a little bit to the right, because we're not really centered right now. Like, she is.
Oh, my God.
She's so excited in school. They have different clubs and you kind of have to like submit what club you want to be in. And it's like a lottery system if you get picked. And so she got into the club she really wanted, which is media and production. And she really has this sense of like wanting to know like more of the behind the scenes and all that good stuff. So I'm just like, Denise is like, you have like a twin.
She got a little producer.
Yeah, she's like, that's your twin.
Yeah.
You definitely birthed
her.
She
is your twin.
You birthed her.
She yeah. is your twin. She really is. Yeah. But watch out because you're going to have a Team Two Moms production company soon.
Yes.
She's going to take it to the, she's going to be producing movies,
yep.
Animated films. I mean, watch out. Here it comes.
I wanted to ask you if there's any boundaries that you have in terms of like, do you like let the kids lead in terms of what you want to share about their lives or what, how do you look at that?
Definitely our number one boundary is when the kids are just not feeling well, whether it's physically just not feeling well, you know, that's not a time for us to make any content. If they're upset, mm-hmm. that's just no time to make any content. That's mommying first, right? So those mm-hmm. are definitely the boundaries. And there are things where I'll ask Olivia, can we talk about this? And she'll say, no, absolutely not. No, that's embarrassing. There was one time, you know, because parents aren't perfect. There was one time where Denise and I filmed a YouTube video where it was her diary, but we didn't open the diary, but we were talking about how tempting it can be for parents to want,
which
to
is learn. A real thing.
It's a real thing.
Yeah, it's a real
know?
Thing. Yeah.
And she mm-hmm. saw that video and she's like, take this down. Literally. Mm-hmm. She was like, let's not talk about any diaries and stuff like that. No. And that's exactly what I did. I was like, oh, you know what? I think for everything we talk about that involves Olivia, no matter how small or how big it is, we have to ask her first. We have to make sure mm-hmm. we get her.
That's a great
her
boundary.
Permission. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she's in the lead.
Correct.
Yeah. And that's how it should be, right? Because correct. She's going to be an adult someday.
Correct.
Yeah. And you don't want her coming back to you. She's like, well, listen, I have my mom's diaries here.
And they get like more and more where they want, like, I mean, my son wants photo approval. He's like, don't put that on social. That does not go. And I'm mm-hmm. like, all right, mm-hmm. like settle down.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you see, I'm not there yet. And I just put things up on my kids all the time. Yeah. But I think I need to start. I think I need to start dialing it back mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. there she's pretty soon. My daughter is going to have an opinion. I know it's coming.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I did just see one of your TikToks. I think it's a recent one where you guys are discussing more kids. Well, it was a you're lip syncing to it. Yeah, that was funny.
It's a very true, accurate representation of where we stand with baby number four. I'm all.
Oh, so you want one?
I really do. I really do. Mm-hmm. And don't ask me how, because I know I don't want to get pregnant. And I know she don't.
The universe going to have to show
you
up.
Know, I don't know. But I just know.
Well, you know, there are ways. There are so many ways.
There are so many ways.
You just
ways.
Have to listen to this podcast and find the one that suits you.
I love it.
I can't wait to see if baby number four shows up.
I know.
You will. And I am saying this not as a question. I'm saying this as a demand. You will keep us posted on that. If baby number four is coming, we need to know.
I might pull a Kylie Jenner. I don't know, guys. I might pull a Kylie Jenner.
I know. All of a sudden, baby two.
Yeah.
I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time and sharing with us and for what you do. We're just so appreciative that you joined us today.
Thank you.
Seriously. I love you even more now. We thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, Ebony.
Our new best friend, Jamie.
She really
I love
is.
Her. I love their mission. I love those kids. Oh, my God.
Oh, come on. Let's get together. We're going to hang out. They're really going to have us over for dinner.
It's possible.
I think they might.
It could happen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jamie, we need to talk about our next live stream. It's this Thursday, October 7th at 4 p.m. Eastern. You're going to hit us on the YouTube, on the Facebook, Jamie, where we're going to be live. You're going to bring your questions and your comments and hear us talking about some pop culture, entertainment news.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And if you miss it because you have a job or something, catch it on the YouTube page later.
Yeah. And then we should also keep the conversation going. You can join us on the social.
Yeah.
We are everywhere you never wanted us to be.
Everywhere.
We are Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube. And you can also, as you know, support the podcast and join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. And that's where you're going to get that bonus content.
Bonus!
Y'all.
I don't know why I did
bonus.
That. I don't know why I did that.
I don't either. You do that a lot, though. You know that?
It's my Oprah. It's my Oprah. Bonus! Okay, and thank you to our sponsors, BetterHelp, Modern Fertility, and KiwiCo. And again, a huge, huge, huge thank you to our Patreons who are helping us make this show. In all seriousness, we really thank you.
We thank you so much. I think it's time
to say goodbye.
To say goodbye. It's eggs.
ovaries.
And out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, X ovaries out.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.